Best-selling author Peggy Seelfon says, escape from anxiety, supercharge your life with powerful strategies from A to Z. She's a personal development coach, author, motivational speaker, and foremost expert on stress and anxiety. Her integrated life personal coaching system is a customized, fast-track approach to awaken personal balance, ignite the inner source of empowerment, and supercharge your life. This and more next on Revenue Chat. Hi, everyone. This is Tony D'Urso with Revenue Chat. With us, we have Peggy Seelfon, who is a stress buster and says, let's supercharge your life with some powerful strategies. She's a personal development coach, author, motivational speaker, and foremost expert on stress and anxiety. Her integrated life personal coaching system is a customized fast-track approach to awaken personal balance, ignite the inner source of empowerment, and supercharge your life. Peggy develops effective protocols for individuals dealing with issues from health to relationships, work, finances, and life purpose. She also creates programs for companies worldwide focused on improving productivity and for athletes through her sports performance workshop. Peggy is also co-author of The Change, one of the fastest-growing personal development book series in the world, with Tony Robbins' former mentor, Jim Britt, and change entrepreneur, Jim Lutz. Her website is peggyseelfon.com. That's S-E-A-L-F as in Frank, O-N. All right. Peggy is going to help us supercharge our life with some good strategies. Let's bring her on. Hello, Peggy. How are you?
Hello, Tony. Here I am. Yes, I am really delighted to be here, and I'm feeling supercharged.
Oh, that's so cool. Thank you. I'm very grateful to have you on the show, and I'm looking forward to getting supercharged and help me as well and our audience escape from anxiety. All right. Now, I mentioned a little bit about you, and it's quite a lot. Perhaps you'd like to fill us in a little more on your roots and how you became an expert in your field. Peggy, how did it all start for you?
Okay, how much time do we have, Tony?
Well, we could take the whole day and I'll just broadcast this in segments.
There you go. Well, you know, I really feel life contributes to so many of the lessons that we learn and how we grow. And really out of adversity, I think, is how we learn the biggest lessons. And so I had a lot of trials and a lot of adversity and different experiences with life-threatening illnesses, with deaths in my family at a very early age, with divorces, just all sorts of life experiences. And I didn't deal with them very well. And through that, I began to learn that there are lots of different ways that you can navigate through life. And it's really a choice. And so I began training in a lot of life-changing modalities, from ancient yogic techniques and mindfulness and spirituality to training in modern psychology, neuro-linguistic programming, functional medicine, and then I started training in sort of esoteric approaches using Reiki and reconnective healing and basically energy healing, and then nutrition and neurosciences. So through all of that, I came to this place of not only intuitive understanding, but really educated understanding of how we can supercharge our lives, how we can really make a difference in our lives. And when I found that I was able to do it so effectively in my own and really create this almost heaven on earth, it really motivated me to want to share it with others. And that was what motivated me to do my book, Escape from Anxiety, and really help people release struggles in life. It really, here's the key, it's a choice. It really is a choice. And it's looking at the different choices and ways that you can really activate the best part of you and really grow that part rather than focusing on the part that is fractured or fragmented or feeling sad or not functioning very well. Does that make sense to you, Tony?
Yes, it does. And I have a couple of questions, so perhaps we'll just jump right into it, Peggy. So let me start from asking, well, how can someone understand whether or not their anxiety is a normal everyday stress or something more serious?
It's a great question, Tony, because the world that we live in today, we all have stress. We all have anxiety. It's really part of our human vulnerability. And there's some stress that's really productive and can really contribute to better well-being. You know, if you get stressed over a work project, let's say, but it's something you're really excited to do, it actually can help you be more productive in that project. Or you're just entering a new relationship. There's some excitement in that. That yes, there's anxiety and there's stress, but that's a very positive stress. And these are aspects that are, again, just really part of our lives and part of our ability to be human. When it really becomes more serious is when the anxiety is so chronic or the stress is so chronic that it's really interfering with your ability to cope with everyday life. So if you start experiencing exaggerated worries, or you can't sleep, you have terrible insomnia, you're overeating, you're undereating, and you're becoming addicted to different aspects of things to find relief. So some people work many hours to escape, or they watch too much television, or they drink alcohol or do drugs. So if you're really feeling constantly overwhelmed, really having constant nightmares, dreading the day, and you wake up with a kind of hopeless depression, that's the time it's much more serious, and it's really important to address it. And what I'm really happy to share with your listeners is there's so many ways you can address it. There's so many things you can do. And so it's creating that glimmer of hope that allows you to realize, wait, I'm tired of this. I don't want to be feeling like this anymore. I'm going to do something. And then there are choices of so many different things that you can do.
Okay, very interesting, Peggy. Now, not everyone may understand this. Could you go into and explain the pitfalls or the effects? In other words, how does stress affect the health and performance? You know, what are the dangers of that, please?
There are so many. So much of our physical issues and problems, from migraines to digestive issues to serious diseases, really are fueled from emotional and mental imbalances. So it's often activated from the way we interact with our lives. And it's so interesting because the American Institute of Stress actually did a study over the last 30, 40 years, and it showed that 75 to 90% of visits to primary care physicians are for stress-related symptoms. So that's really huge. And what I teach a lot of my clients is just kind of a basic understanding of why there's such an effect. So what often happens when we're feeling stressed or anxious is we activate this fight or flight response that actually releases hormones in the brain, cortisol, adrenaline, and it really increases our heart rate. So all the energy starts pumping into our extremities, into our limbs, so that we can either fight the evil predator or run away and live to fight another day. And so what happens when that occurs, when that release occurs biologically in our bodies, it takes all of the energy away from non-essential functions. And when you're trying to fight for survival, the non-essential functions are things like your digestive system, your immune system. You don't need them in that moment. But this release was meant for short bursts, just so that you could survive and move on to the next activity and be able to continue your life. And what has happened in our culture and in our world is that we have this constant flood of these hormones, these stress hormones. And so they're activating increased heart rates, increased blood pressures, and so many people are starting to develop a lot of issues related to that: high blood pressure, heart problems, strokes more seriously, because the body was not meant to function at that level without any release, without any relief from it. And so as a result, we end up with a variety of really physical ailments. And it could be as simple as acid reflux or, you know, heart palpitations, or as I mentioned earlier, migraines. And so these are all sort of signs that your body's responding to something that's out of balance, and it should really be a signal to you, okay, what's going on in my life? What might be out of balance, or what am I overly stressed about? And I need to really look at that, be mindful about it, and perhaps interrupt it.
Very interesting, and I have a couple of comments on it, but one thing that came to mind, probably, maybe you've never been asked this before, but some of those symptoms seem to mirror the, if you want to call them, the symptoms or stages of someone being in love. They, you know, they don't eat, they may not sleep, they're just, it's almost like being stressed, but it's not, and it just came to mind. It's like, I see parallels and similarities to that. Are you familiar with any of the
absolutely
symptoms of
that? Oh, please. And I totally agree with you on that. That's the whole point, is that, you know, biologically we respond to influences in our life. And love is a wonderful, beautiful influence. And when we're in the process of being courted or courting, or, you know, just entering into a relationship and it's new, there are all these sort of titillating aspects that do activate this biological response in our bodies. Typically, though, it doesn't last for years, that level of excitement and adrenaline rush. Usually that's in the early stages. And so the body can adapt to that. The body can use that to fuel the love. And sometimes, again, it's physical attraction because of these biological responses. And in order to go deeper into a real unconditional love, that takes a little bit more effort. And that usually takes away a lot of those symptoms in the process. So yes, those are wonderful feelings to have short term. They're just not meant for you to stay in that place of high alert, because that's what's literally happening in the body. And if that continues for long periods, the body starts to be unable to really cope with it. And it begins to deteriorate. It begins to have a negative impact. And again, when you're in love, you can pursue that in a way that you can balance that out and learn to be able to have that feeling and that excitement of love without the potential depletion at the other end when you just maintain that high level. So you can learn to moderate that in ways that actually allow you to be even more excited in that relationship without the sort of crash and burn that might come if you don't moderate it. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does, Peggy. I got you. Thanks for that. Very interesting. Thanks. Very cool. And back to the basic point, I believe we're talking about the flight or fight and the fear. It's basically fear that can come, that can create distress. And what can someone do to overcome that fear that is holding them back from, you know, being healthy, living a good life, work, doing their job, doing their business?
There are many different ways that people can begin to, what I call, interrupt those patterns. What often happens with a lot of the clients I work with is they've been anxious or fearful for such a long period of time that not only are they physically being compromised with different aches and pains and different symptoms, but they're stuck in this pattern. And that's really what happens over time, is that we literally groove these sort of neural pathways in our brains that keep us stuck in those patterns of fear and anxiety. So the very first step in overcoming it is to recognize that, wait, I am having a fearful reaction. I am feeling stressed about this situation. And to be mindful that you're actually having that experience. And then it's a question of interrupting it. And so there are many, many different interrupters. My book, Escape from Anxiety, I have over 100 different strategies, because different techniques resonate differently with different people. And what might work for you, Tony, might not work for one of my clients, Stuart, who's been dealing with a lot of stress and anxiety. So it's important to find what really resonates with you so that you'll use it, because that's when it really begins to work, is when you find these interrupters that you can assimilate into your life and really use it on a regular basis, so that you're interrupting those patterns and you're creating new patterns. You're creating more productive patterns. You're creating more positive approaches. So just something very simple when you recognize this stressful moment, is to step away from whatever it is that's stimulating this trigger in you and just stretch your arms up overhead, take a huge deep breath in, and just blow the air out, and then relax your arms. And just by doing that helps to oxygenate the body a little more quickly so that you're energizing your cells rather than crippling them with all of this toxic stress hormonal releases. And so just doing that for a minute can go a long way in just beginning to interrupt those patterns and begin to set you on a different path. And of course, there's a lot of other techniques that are much more involved, but things that are quite simple and effortless to do once you get into a pattern of doing them and use them faithfully, it just allows you to, again, be more productive, feel better, and not have all of these symptomatic responses that are really holding you back from having the life you want to have.
That's very interesting, Peggy, and very informative. You know, I've heard, as I'm sure most people have for since forever, when someone's angry or upset, you're always hearing someone say, okay, hold on, take a deep breath. And I hear this all the time, but I never kind of knew or understood the mechanism behind it that you've just described and explained. It's you're taking a break, you're stopping that emotional response, that pattern, that you're stopping that trigger and almost resetting. And I've never looked at it that way.
That's exactly it, Tony. It's a reset. And the point is to really be intentional about it, to really be so aware and conscious of what you're doing. And here's the other aspect of it. Often, especially when people are anxious, I work with a lot of clients who have post-traumatic stress disorder, they have depression from it. And when someone is in that state of mind, their body is kind of slumped forward, their shoulders are bent forward, they're not breathing very deeply at all, their lungs are actually a bit collapsed, and as a result, they're not getting rid of those toxins that are accumulating in their body. 70% of the body's toxins are actually released through our breathing. So if you're slumped over and you're not breathing very deeply, you're not getting rid of all of that. And so literally, just by putting your shoulders back, sitting up tall, taking a few deliberate deep breaths, and just noticing how that feels in your body, and notice how it changes you almost instantaneously, then you begin to feel encouraged that, well, yeah, there might be something to this. And as you point out, it's sort of been tradition to say, hey, you know, count to 10 before you say something, or just take a deep breath and let it go. So we intuitively know these things. And now through different programs, we can quantify them in ways that people can really have these tools in their toolbox to pull out whenever they need it, so that they never have to go through another moment of feeling that anguish of stress or pain or trauma, and be able to really transition through it more effortlessly.
Very cool. All right, we're going to try that, Peggy. Okay, everyone listening, whether you're at work, if you're driving, you know, watch how you do this, but I want everyone to just take a deep breath, focus on your shoulders, make sure that they're not slumped back, take a deep breath. We're going to reset and while you listen to the rest of the show, and hopefully you'll be all de-stressed, and when you're done with hearing the show, you'll perform even better at your work and your life. Okay, everyone, go ahead and breathe. And here's the next question, Peggy.
Wait, I just have to interrupt you for 1 second,
please,
Tony.
Please.
You just reminded me, I was working with a client and I was teaching him a very specific breathing technique that really helps oxygenate even more quickly. And I said, you know, breathing is really important. And he looked at me and he said, well, Peggy, I really wasn't planning on stopping anytime soon. So breathing is built into what we do every day. So I just thought, that was such a, you know, here he was so stressed. He was very jet lagged from having traveled many, many miles. And he was, you know, really struggling. And to have that kind of sense of humor in that moment, I thought was just great. So, yes, breathing is important. And there aren't too many people who would like to stop anytime soon.
I love it. We definitely want to keep on going. Thanks, Peggy. That's cool. Very good. All right. You have quoted somewhere, and I'm not sure where, but you say that fear is detrimental to the welfare of mankind. Would you like to expound on that and explain that more, please?
Well, fear is something that is so rampant in our world today, and it's a very low-level vibration. It really creates a lot of tension in the body, in the mind, and it shuts us down. It shuts us down to infinite possibilities that are solutions to the things that we might feel fearful about. And sadly, I feel our culture feeds fear. We're so barraged by this constant flood of information, of news, of tweets and posts, and it's exhausting, and it depletes our resources, and we literally take this information in on a cellular level, which is very disruptive to our whole natural flow. And so in time, as we are dealing with these external triggers, or sometimes the fear comes from our own internal thoughts that just create patterns where our minds imagine worst-case scenarios. And what happens is we constantly feel like we're in danger. And so guess what? We constantly have this stress response releasing all these hormones, and it is very depleting for the whole body. And very often these fears are triggered by the external world, but they actually come from an internal source that's been developed from childhood, from messages we might have gotten from parents or teachers or even friends when we were small, and they keep kind of recurring and getting triggered in the present and create more of these fearful reactions. So the past is the past, and the future is whatever the future is going to be, and it's really about taking care of the present. And if we can let go of fear in the present by being more aware of our response to external or internal thoughts, experiences, we can dismantle those fears, and we can choose to let those go. There are some people I've worked with who suffer terrible anxiety, panic attacks, and they've had them for so long that they're kind of used to it. And they almost are afraid to let go of it because it's become part of their norm. And so it's really helpful to begin to step back and really recognize that that can very much be holding you back and interfering with your ability to function in your life and really have the relationships you want, the work you want. I actually was working with a woman who was CEO of a nonprofit organization, and she, before she came to me, was going to the emergency room every other week thinking she was having a heart attack, and she was having panic attacks, and she was so fearful about this new job that she had been had accepted and had relocated to take it, and was working with staff that were a bit insubordinate. And so the fears were increasing more and more and more, but it was really the source came from within her and her insecurities. And once we dismantled those insecurities for her, once she developed a protocol of what she could do every day to really be in her power, really be in her internal, you know, real vibrancy, really be in her greatness, it completely changed her life, and not just her work life, but every part of her life. So fear can be extremely depleting and is such a problem in terms of the way it's being cultivated in our society. And for those listeners who really are ready to really be in their power, it's really time to let go of the fear. Fear serves nothing.
I hear you on that, Peggy. Fear's bad. Bad fear. Very cool. Good. Good information. Good insight. Thank you on that. You mentioned earlier that you studied in and you went into a related or semi-related into the metaphysical. And I believe you have a philosophical viewpoint about this that some people do consider is metaphysical. Would you please tell us a little bit more about that? What is it and how does it work?
Thank you for asking about that. Actually, I look at it not so much as philosophical as I do almost scientific, because what I have evolved into over the years of all these different studies is understanding our old paradigm of science, which is this very Newtonian approach that we use in mostly in Western medicine, where we look at all of mankind as these sort of separate molecules, these separate parts that make up the whole. So if you have a heart problem, you go to a cardiologist. If you have a brain problem, you go to a neurologist. And we've separated out all these different aspects. And in quantum physics, what we've really been able to quantify is this understanding of energy. And Albert Einstein, so many decades ago, said all matter is energy. So we're all part of this cosmic universe of vibrations and energy. Our bodies are made up of energy, and the world we interact with is made up of different vibrations and frequencies. And this energy comes in with our first breath in, which animates our body and mind, and it leaves with our last breath out. So even Albert Einstein, Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut who founded the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and he was the sixth man to walk on the moon, he talks about the fact that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And so coming back to the topic of breath, it's why breath is really so important. It gives us our vital life force energy. And the ancient yogic seers called it prana. The Christians call it Holy Spirit. The Chinese call it qi, the source. It's part of what we're all part of, whether you want to call it God, divine. So we need to accept that we're all part of something so much greater than any one of us. And here's the major thing, is that we're all interconnected. So it's important to understand that interrelatedness. And there's a wonderful video that Edgar Mitchell actually did, you can YouTube it, just about his perceptions coming back to Earth from having walked on the moon, and really seeing this beautiful globe of Earth just sort of hanging there in the midst of darkness, and the fragility of our Earth. But also the fact that we're all connected on it. We're all part of this amazing planet. And so we are all here together. And so for me, that's a big part of doing the work that I'm doing, is really being able to share it with others, really being able to help others who might be struggling and dealing with adversity the way I did, really give them the tools and the opportunity to step up and be all that they can be. Because when each of us do that, we contribute to the betterment of not only our sphere of influence, our people who are close to us, but it really echoes out into the universe, into the world. And it's really important that we all take responsibility and we all support each other. It's not about, well, what do I have? What's in it for me? It's really about, well, what can I give? What can I put in it for you?
Very interesting, Peggy. And yes, there's no question whether we care to believe it or not, we are part of a bigger, let's call it, life picture. Absolutely. And if we are in sync with that, I think everything goes a lot better for us. Our work, our job, our life, our everything. Whether we care to agree with it or not, it's there. And I think those that don't agree with it push back. And and there's where you get stressed and life becomes more difficult. And I'm not trained in some of these aspects, and I didn't write a book on this, but I believe, you know, if we just embrace it, it moves us up another step into that higher world, that higher power. Yes, very cool.
It does. I totally agree with you. That's, and that's the thing that I find so interesting, is that really intuitively, we know this. Intuitively, we have this amazing resource within each one of us. But because of stressors, because of all the tensions, because of all the demands that we put on ourselves, we block our ability to connect with that inner guidance system that's always there, that's really part of us, that really can help keep us on our path to good health, to fulfillment, to contentment, to happiness, to great relationships. It really influences everything. And for each of us, it has to start within us. You cannot give to others what is not flowing through you. So it really does begin energetically within you, balancing yourself, working on yourself, really coming into alignment, mind and body, so that you can then come into alignment with all the natural laws of nature and have a more effortless life. Why are we struggling? Why are we not reveling in great joy? And you look at young children and they have such a gleefulness about them. We should never lose that. It's all within us, and we can choose to tap into that. And that's what I encourage everyone to do. It changes every aspect of your life when you're able to do that, and you mindfully take the time to pay attention to that.
Very good. Hear, hear. Absolutely. And speaking of paying attention to that, if one really, let's call it, zones into this conversation we're having, you can see the application of it across life, business, health, everything. But if you're listening to this kind of quick, trying to get a fast takeaway, you know, some fast information for your business, you may not get the full picture. So let me kind of slow it down a little bit here, just a little bit, and say, this applies to business. This applies to revenue. This applies to making money. This applies to doing well in your life. Really, really zone in and focus on what's going on here. This is really important stuff. And with that, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the business application, Peggy, and go into the performance at the job, talking about business. And let me open that up by asking, there's a topic that I've had a guest on before who's talked about it. It's called mindfulness. It's very interesting. I believe my viewpoint is mindfulness is just being in the present. But let me ask you about this. Let me ask you the question, Peggy, what is mindfulness, and how are businesses using that to change and improve employee performance and so forth, please?
Beautiful question. And it is very much about being present, being connected to who you are, accepting yourself as you are, and accepting your associates as they are, so that it becomes a supportive experience in business. And beyond that, for some employees to reach that level of mindfulness, it's really important to take little breaks during the day, take little timeouts for what I call a productivity pause, and to really stop the task-oriented, goal-oriented approach, and just take a minute, 3 minutes, to just allow your brain and body to reset, as we talked about earlier. I love that expression you used. And do it intentionally. Because by doing that, by taking a moment, especially if you're struggling over a task or you're having a conflict with someone in business, an associate or could even be a client, that is the time to take that pause and really be able to sort of widen your vision so that you can see the bigger picture and ask yourself, this is a really big, big question. Is this my ego that wants this to be this way? Or is this for the betterment of my work, my company, and mankind in general? I think it's really important that we hone in on what's significant in our lives. And I think contributing to the betterment of our workplace and our interactions with one another lifts everyone up and is really important. So if you are always approaching everything from that sort of self-oriented, goal-oriented focus, it tends to compromise your ability to really interact in the bigger picture and be able to help your fellow man in ways that we can support one another. People are in business and in different jobs within a company because they have specific talents that are helping to contribute to the whole. And so it's important to really celebrate each other's talents and support them rather than undermining them, which I see so often in some of the companies that I've been called in to work with and to help resolve, because someone is sort of looking to move up the ladder, they want to make more money, and nothing wrong with that. But the bottom line is, if you make 30% more salary, this is a study that was done, it doesn't mean that you're going to be 30% happier. So it's really helpful to get priorities in order and to really look at that big picture. And mindfulness can help you take that first step. And in many companies now, many very progressive CEOs are incorporating meditation time for employees, meditation rooms, timeout rooms, places where they can go and just take a break for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And the old paradigm of doing business was always work harder, put in more hours, make more money, go, 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 go. But what happened when people functioned at that level is they would break down. There would be high rates of absenteeism, high rates of presenteeism, lower productivity, and all of that impacts the bottom line. So if you want a better bottom line, take care of your employees. And if you're an employee, ask to be taken care of in terms of wanting a few breaks during the day, and not just to go out and have coffee, but to really take those moments to stretch or move or do yoga or meditate. Or in fact, I have a 3-minute free audio that I offer, and I encourage everyone, download it onto your smartphone or your computers and use it every day as breaks. And it, you can access it by going to 3minutes2destress.com, and that's the numeral 3. So 3minutes2destress.com, and just, it's literally 3 minutes. Who doesn't have 3 minutes? And what that does is it gives you back so much more in performance levels that are heightened and greatly improved. So I'm seeing more and more companies recognizing the need to really support our humanness and to really encourage our work time in a way that allows employees to be so much more productive and happier. A happy employee performs so much better and contributes even more than what had been asked of them. So it's really important to start with that perspective of mindfulness.
Very cool. Nice response. Thank you, Peggy. And may I compliment you, if I may say it, I don't want to say it incorrectly, but you're one of the, how do I say this? let me say it the other way. You talk about the greater good for mankind. And let me say, I don't hear enough of that. You've got this, you have this wide viewpoint of the greater good, helping people, not just a person, not just you are a client, I'm going to make money from you, but you have this big point of view of mankind. And I don't hear that very much. And that's very refreshing to hear. And you've brought it up several times in this conversation. It's very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I feel it really is what we're really about. It's what we're really here to be doing. And we need to honor that. And I think what happens is, and I'm guilty of it as well, because I've had a lot of different careers. I like to say I have a PhD in reinventing myself. And I've always had millions of things going on and that I've been doing and that I've been focused on. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in that task list and the should list. And I think it's important every quarter, at least, if not every month, to really step back and evaluate for ourselves what's important for us, what's important in our personal life, and what can we give in our personal life and in our professional life more than what we're giving right now. And I think if we all did that, our whole world would be a completely different place. And I'm hopeful that in time we will create that change and we will impact businesses, as I'm already seeing impacted just through the work that I'm doing. It's very gratifying to finally see some of these changes really being incorporated and really making a difference. It's very exciting.
Very cool, Peggy, and I like that. Thank you. And yes, you and I, we're on the same page, on the same boat, and I hope more and more people, I don't want to call it, let's not call it a boat. Why do we say we're on the same boat, or is that my expression? We're going on the same jet.
Well, probably thinking about Noah's Ark or something.
Okay.
We're thinking that.
Well, I'm going to call
it. That's probably where it came
from. I'm going to call it an aircraft carrier jet that flies in the sky. We're on the same supersonic jet here.
Well, actually, we're all on Spaceship Earth.
That's right.
So, and we are out there in space.
Very cool. Well, all right. Very good on that. Let's escape a little more from anxiety, because I like that. And that is, of course, the title of your book, Escape from Anxiety. Would you please give us a brief synopsis and tell us, what do you hope we'll get from reading this book, please?
Well, Escape from Anxiety, it supercharges your life with powerful strategies from A to Z. And it's a compilation of over 100 bite-sized solutions that I call interrupters that, as we talked about earlier, literally can stop that cycle of stress and allow that moment to, as you said, reset, which I love. And so what I've done is organize the book in an A to Z format. So someone can literally open to any letter of the alphabet, read a single recommendation, do it, and feel relief in that moment. And then in the second part of the book, I go into more advice on cultivating a personalized program to really sustain relief and to really develop a plan for your life. So it includes foundational scientific understandings about really changing habits, really shifting out of painful patterns. And I bring together a lot of different Eastern philosophies, Western philosophies, and all the different things that I've been trained in. So it's kind of a one-source place to have this overview. And it, again, it really is cultivated from this perspective of the fact that we are all energy. So all of these techniques impact that energetic flow that is us individually. So, but I've put it together in a way that's very mainstream, very accessible. And my hope is really to give people a valuable toolbox of skills that will really help them build and expanded perspectives on their lives, and so that they can look at whatever they feel isn't working and know that they have the power to change it, whether it's finances, whether it's a business or a new job or changing an old job, or whether it's intimate relationships or whether it's an illness. So these are all part of our personal evolution. They teach us lessons. And so my book is kind of a life draft, if you will, to float them to the next phase of their life. And I've gotten some great responses from readers who've written to me, and I've just been gratified by how much they feel it's helped them and changed their lives. And as an author and, you know, as someone who really believes in the work that I'm doing, that is really exciting. And the other thing that I added to the whole book project is, once you have a copy of the book, there's a website that it'll give you a username and password to get into, where you can actually have access to more information and videos and be able to really go further. So I love being able to use today's technology to even enhance the experience even more.
That's interesting, Peggy. And you have 100 techniques here, or points. Is there some one point that is pervasive enough or applicable enough to most people? Is there something else or one point that you would like to share with us?
Well, it really covers the spectrum that is part of our almost every aspect of our lives. So it's really about balancing our everyday challenges by taking time outs, taking these pauses during the day, doing these breathing techniques. I have quite a few of them scattered throughout the book, and the 3minutestodestress.com offers one of them. It's also looking at really being more active, being able to move the body. So there's some exercise recommendations, aspects of nutrition. You are what you eat. And one of the biggest messages above all the many others is about sugar in our lives and how depleting that is for us, how it literally has no nutritional value. And actually, many of the clients that I've worked with who've manifested anxiety symptoms, it's been fueled by sugar. And once they took sugar out of their diet, their symptoms subsided. So it's really important to be aware and mindful about the things that you're eating. Sleep is another aspect that, oh, I just don't have time to sleep. I've got to get this project done. We burn the midnight oil, and then we're exhausted, and we're not making good decisions. We can't function well. And I actually have a client whose business was literally falling apart, and he had such bad insomnia that it was causing him to gain a tremendous amount of weight, which happens when you don't sleep enough. You do gain weight. And he was not able to think clearly. He was exhausted every day. So he was really not coping well with what was going on in his business. And I started working with him, and I gave him a protocol that he could do during the day to take these little mindful breaks to help him calm down and help him function from a place where he could see more clearly instead of being so scattered and unfocused. And then I worked with him with a nighttime program that I offer called Integrative Relaxation. And in just 20 minutes of following this kind of guided relaxation technique, it's the equivalent of 3 to 4 hours of deep restorative sleep. So he was listening to the CDs, and I have a number of different CDs, one for stress relief, one for pain relief, one for travelers. And so he was listening to the one for stress relief, but he would listen to it 3-4 times a night. But after about 2 or 3 weeks of this, he suddenly felt so much better, and he was able to function at a much better level. And so sleep is another area that I cover in the book and talk about different things that you can do even just to, you know, prepare better for sleep. So it really covers all of the different human choices that we have, and it provides different techniques and advice and motivation to allow you to do it. And one simple one is laughing. You know, Norman Cousins years ago was given a 1% chance of survival, and he left the doctor's office, threw away all the medication, went to a hotel room with a whole bunch of comic books and funny movies. And 6 months later, his disease went into remission, and he wrote a book about it, Anatomy of an Illness. So laughter is very helpful too, being around people who are entertaining and amusing or watching entertaining things and giving yourself permission to laugh. We take our lives sometimes too seriously. Life should be play. We need to be more like children in our approach to life. And I'm hearing your listeners out there going, wait, but you don't understand my bills that I have to pay. You don't under, but it's how you look at it. It's how you approach everything. And you can literally shift how you see these things that seem overwhelming when you focus on them in a way that you allow them to become overwhelming. But you can change that. You can shift out of that. And that's a lot of what I offer in the book. And I offer programs that help individuals fast track their ability to do that.
Wow. So much good communication there. So insightful, Peggy. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Sure. I love the permission to laugh. You do not need permission to laugh, everyone. After you take your deep breath and reset, later, find something to laugh about. Absolutely. Absolutely. Even if you don't want to laugh, just make yourself to laugh, and you'll soon find there's more things to laugh about. It's a great de-stressor. It's an inherent natural de-stressor that we just kind of forget about.
And actually, there's a Dr. Fry out in California who did some studies about laughter, and it showed that I think it's like 10 seconds of laughter is equivalent to like 3 minutes of rowing, of heavy rowing. So you actually get physiological benefits from laughing. It works muscles. You get rid of all the old energies and all the old toxins. And so there's a lot of tremendous benefits to it. But for me, and I say to others, give yourself permission to take the time, to take these timeouts, to laugh, because I never used to. I always thought, no, I've just got to work harder. This isn't working like this, so I have to put in more hours. And that was kind of the paradigm I grew up accepting. That was my belief system, was that was how you become successful. You have to do that. And yes, that's part of it, is a focus and a determination. But the other part is having balance. And if you don't have balance, you're going to self-destruct. And that's what used to happen to me all the time. I was always getting sick.
Wow. Peggy, you have 100 items in your book. I'm going to add 101. Here's 101 add-on. It's have an LOL day. Let's see. Laugh out loud, not just chuckle, but laugh out loud every day. Have an LOL.
I like that. That's good. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Very cool. You have another book here, by the way, that, let me see, you are co-author of The Change, which is one of the fastest-growing personal development book series in the world, everybody, and it's with Tony Robbins' first mentor, Jim Britt, and entrepreneur Jim Lutz. That was just published just a couple months ago, and it's one of the best in the world, guys. Everyone, you got to check this out, The Change. And Peggy, you wrote about, and I quote, an integrated life is the way to authentic success, end quote. Would you please tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, thank you. It's actually a book series. So I'm in book number 9. They're already on number 10. So I'm co-author with over 200 authors from all over the world who are doing the work that I'm doing in different ways. And, you know, Tony, that's part of why I talk about the impact on mankind, because I'm really beginning to see the rollout of a shift, of a change in attitude and a change in approach to how we live and how we balance our lives and what's important to us, what are our priorities. And so the chapter that I contributed is really about how you tap into your authentic success. So authentic success isn't necessarily measured in dollars and cents, which is going back to that old paradigm again. And one of the clients I worked with, he had set a goal that he was going to make a certain number of millions of dollars. And when he achieved that goal, he'd be happy. And so when he achieved the goal that he set for himself, he was a nervous wreck. He was a mess. He had not spent quality time with his daughters, with his wife, and he was on the verge of having a stroke. And part of it is that we sometimes lose track of ourselves in the process of going for that brass ring or gold ring of success. And so it's really important to step back and look at the whole picture of who you are and what your value system is, what you believe in, what's really important to you, and be able to prioritize it. Because he had all the money he could ever wish for, but he didn't have a very good relationship with his children or with his wife, and he was absolutely a mess physically because he was so fearful, there's that fear word again, that he would lose everything. And so he had to manage all these different homes and all these bank accounts. And I hear some people out there, you know, resonating, well, I'd love to have that problem. But you would be surprised, because when you have what you think you want, if you haven't really put it in the right perspective, it really turns out not to be what's really going to give you satisfaction. And here's the key point. It's not about, well, when I reach a certain point, or when I make a certain amount of money, or when I have the perfect relationship, or have the perfect business, or the perfect job. It's not when you get somewhere. It's really about coming back to that point of mindfulness and being happy now, being happy all along the journey, not when something happens, because that something, someday, is not a day of the week, and that may never happen. And that's okay when you're in a place of fulfillment, balance, and contentment right now. And everyone has that capacity. That's the beauty of who we are as human beings and what we have accessible to us and available to us. And sometimes it takes a little hand-holding to be able to see it. And I really encourage people to reach out and don't do it alone. Find a mentor, someone you admire. Ask them, how'd they do it? Well, how does their life look like? And coaches like myself, that's what we're here for, is to help people get on their path to authentic success, to really find that balance for themselves, because oftentimes it isn't what they think it is. And when they connect to what it really is, it is so empowering. That's when they're supercharged.
Wow. Very cool. Very interesting. Well, we're going to have to read more about that. Absolutely. Wow. Good stuff, Peggy.
Thank you, Tony.
Good. Now, this next question is, let me see how to put this, because at this point in our interview, I usually like to talk about willpower and inspiration, and we've talked so much about this, so let me put it in a different term. Peggy, you may run into barriers. Yes, you have your 100 points, your 101 points now to dealing with escaping from anxiety, but you have your barriers, your travails, your troubles. What drives you? What keeps you going? What keeps you keeping successful, please?
For me, I love learning, and I'm always searching for more information. I'm fascinated by just our human evolution and being able to really learn more. And so when I'm challenged, when I hit crises or blockages or barriers, as you call them, I always am looking not at the barriers and what it's stopping me from doing, but I'm always looking at what am I supposed to learn from this? And if we grow from it, then all those moments of adversity, all those crises serve a purpose, and they're really helping us evolve to be better than we were yesterday. And when we continue that evolutionary process, we just keep improving. And that's really what we're here to do, is to grow. And so for me, I'm excited by it. And I'm always looking for kind of the next horizon and the next dimension, the next higher energy level. And for me, it's just fascinating, and that motivates me. And then I'm gratified when I work with my clients who I see the changes in them. I had a gentleman who, young man, he owned a restaurant, has two young children, a beautiful wife, and he was held up at gunpoint in his own restaurant. And so he was suffering very serious post-traumatic stress disorder. And just working with him to give him the tools to help move him through that paralysis that he was beginning to experience, and which was leaking into every aspect of his life, and to see the change in him and his family, that's, how can you not be motivated by that? It's absolutely remarkable, and it's what we're here for.
Wow. Wow. Great points. So much to comment on, but we're close to wrapping up. That's just awesome. Wow. Good on you in helping that guy. That's quite something. Yes.
Oh, it was amazing. And it was just amazing to see his transformation and his resiliency. And we're all resilient, but sometimes, again, you just need a little support. You need a little help. You need some skills. And we're not taught that in school. In fact, I've been working on some programs that I hope we can start teaching that in school.
Very interesting. Well, Peggy, we are close to wrapping up. Is there anything else you would like our audience to know about, please?
I feel like we have covered the world and beyond.
We've taken spaceship Earth, hurled it through space with mankind. We're all de-stressing, resetting, breathing, and having our laughing out loud, and we're just taking care of business.
We are. We are. And it's allowing us to be joyful in the process, and that's the thing. No matter what you face, know that there are solutions, and you often can't see solutions when you're wrapped up in fear and stress. So if you can take a breather, take a time out, a step back, you can then actually open those neural pathways in your brain to see better solutions. And if I can help anyone, please contact me. You can look at my integratedlifeplan.com and get some ideas of all the different aspects that you should be considering in your life and your work, and that might help you as well.
Peggy, we've mentioned, thank you so much for all that. Thank you, very insightful. You've mentioned a couple of websites. And my question is does the site peggysealfond.com that I mentioned earlier, Does that have links to the 3 minutes to de-stress and this other integrated website you just mentioned?
Yes, it does. Under programs, I have a list of relaxation tools. If you go to the relaxation tools, I have lots of free things on there. So I have some video tips that people can use. There's a lot of just free information on the site. Again, I'm hopeful to just reach lots of people and just help them better their lives and feel happier and be able to be more productive in their lives. So please, yes, just use the site and use all of the materials that's available there, because I think it can really help a lot of people and just shift out of whatever is holding you back so that you can be supercharged.
Very good. So that site is PeggySealfon.com. Check it out, everyone. Go through the site, see what hits your item, what indicates, what makes good sense to you, and work to just do a little bit better. Peggy, thank you very much. I've loved the show. It's been insightful. I feel less stressed. Not that I was stressed, but it just feels good. It's just something clicks really nice. It was a magical interview, and I thank you.
Oh, Tony, thank you. I so enjoy being here with you. You're a terrific interviewer, and I really enjoy your enthusiasm for all of these different aspects. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to reach your listeners, and I wish everybody a fantastic day.
Well, awesome. Thank you. That's Peggy Sealfon with the great book, Escape from Anxiety. Awesome. All right, everyone. Well, thank you once again, and stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. We're going to have Gary Green, serial entrepreneur and salesman since the age of 8, who says, "This is a great time to build a business as a financing professional, helping other businesses to grow and improve their profits. As commercial banks continue to focus on only the best of credit profiles among their commercial customers, millions of small businesses are underserved in the availability of growth financing. In good times and bad, businesses always need access to capital and to the equipment which helps them to operate with maximum efficiency and minimal capital to invest." Gary shares his info to help the small business on the next episode of Revenue Chat. Listen to my other awesome interviews at tonydurso.com/radio. And please drop me a message. I'd love to hear from you. All right. Thanks again, everyone. And until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.